our beginning code today is 486. That's 486. And we today will be looking at quickly over the resources on Glacier Point Solutions, because I want to make sure you guys are really noticing that there's a lot of great resources for you as associate coaches there. Then we will be looking at job search strategy, and if we have time, we'll talk about determining target jobs and jobs and target industries or industries. And I have decided that we will skip next week, and because we're down to just two people possibly being able to be there, and so I'll send you an email with that. So we'll be off for 3 weeks, and then we'll come back and finish up job search training, because I'm going to be on vacation for a couple weeks as well. So just a brief reminder about what's available on Glacier Point Solutions. And I'm having trouble. There we go. So if you log into the Glacier Point Solutions website, which is different than the DonnaShilder.com website, you can click on Associate Coach Pages, and you will see that there are starting to be a lot of resources for you guys here. The job search coaching process with all the video or audio, if you'd prefer to listen to it audio, there'll be more being added there. We've got a mock interview feedback checklist. We've got all the career exploration coaching process information there. We've got an example of a client intake form, and that's just what I use, but may give you some ideas for what you want to use. We've got contacts to all of the team. We've got a lot of assessments information now, and there is a podcast that we added where I'm talking about my leadership philosophy and Glacier Point Solutions leadership philosophy, and it gives some background on me. So I would encourage you to listen to that podcast, especially if you're a podcast listener. So that's some overview of what's going on to the Glacier Point Solutions site.
Yeah, I have a question for you. I logged in, and it's a list of client pages, and there's a lot of gobbledygook text on there.
Yeah, haven't initiated the list of client pages. For Glacier Point Solutions, you want to click on Associate Coach Pages.
Associate Coach Pages. Okay, thank you.
And click on that, and then you'll see.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Okay. Yeah, we haven't initiated the client pages on the Glacier Point Solutions website yet. So now we're going to go over to DonnaShilder.com. And just as a reminder, if you're bringing a client in for job search coaching, you would make sure you are on the client pages. And if it says welcome and your name, you know that you are signed in. If it says sign in, then you know you need to sign in. You would click on client pages. It would take you to this page, and you would click on job search.
Donna?
Yes.
Sorry, we're not seeing your screen, or at least I can.
Oh, okay. I thought I shared it. Let me try again.
I'm seeing your emails.
Oh, shoot. Okay, I did this wonderful thing where the screen was going to be bigger, but I didn't realize it was going to share. I have two screens. Okay, so the screen, I had made it all bigger for you guys, but I guess that won't be the case now. Thank you. So that's part of why Barry didn't know where I was either. So let me just do that really quick so you can see. Oh, gosh, I have to sign in. Okay, hopefully that gets me in. So if you click on this Associate Coach page on the Glacier Point Solutions site, then what it takes you to is this is what you should see.
Yeah.
Okay. So going to DonnaShilder.com, client pages, job search, and then what you come to is the job search client pages. And today we've gone through target company list number 2. We've gone through number 4, job search schedule. Number 5, job search goals and metrics. And number 7, the mental game of job search. And Chris was asking, does this go in order? And most likely it goes mainly in order, but you have to respond to whatever's coming up. And you always need to be focusing on the mental game of job search. So just make sure you're addressing that whenever it comes up for the client. Today we're talking about job search strategies. And a lot of people think that there is only 3 or 5 ways to find a job, but my contention is that there's actually 26 ways to find a job. And I'm going to throw a challenge out to you guys, and it's this. If you come up with a job search strategy that I don't have on this list, I have a prize for you. So be thinking, have I missed something? And that I promise it'll be a fun prize. So if you email me and it's not on the website and we get to add it, then we have a new job search strategy and you have a prize. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go over the whole list of strategies, and I want to let you know that there is a download of the list right here at the bottom. And you may want to print that out now. It is also in your training guide. And but I believe that there is actually 26 ways. And most people will use looking at job search websites, number 4. Everybody pretty much will use that. Some people will use working with recruiters and headhunters. Some people will look at company websites for the jobs that are listed on, say, Xerox's website or Boeing's website. And if they're really good, they work their existing network. Number 2. Maybe we get them to number 3, going out and networking at a professional organization or a networking event to find a job. Maybe they use LinkedIn, the jobs tab, to look for a job, but they probably don't look at utilizing number 7 through 26. So I believe our job is to get them using at least 6 to 7 job search strategies, if not more, because when they do that, they cast a wider net. Because if they just look at Indeed.com or Monster.com, there's a lot of jobs that never get listed there. If they just look at Boeing's website, then there's going to be jobs that are listed on Indeed.com that they've won't ever see. And then there's a lot of jobs that never get listed. And so by working their network, not only do they maybe uncover some of those, but they also find a better link into the job than just sending their resume on the job search website. And so they're actually more likely to get the job if they can network into it rather than sending it through a job search website. And if they do both, that's even better, because then maybe the person sees their resume more than once and it becomes more memorable. So any questions so far? Okay. So I'm going to go in depth on some of these, but let's go into the less common strategies. So we talked a little bit last time about networking into your target company, but also some people forget that they can, on number 8, leverage their current job or their past employer to get a job. And they don't even think about that they might be able to get a job at their past employer, or that their past employer might tell them about a job. So that's another way. You can also post a resume on a job search website rather than just searching it. So that's another way. We talked about doing informational interviews as a way to do career exploration, but it is also a fantastic way to find a job. And I found a job myself doing this by setting up informational interviews with companies I was interested in. And I did find a job, and I've had tons of clients find jobs that way too. So, you know, what you do is you, instead of saying, I'm researching an industry, you say, I'm researching a job, you say, I'm researching an industry. And the other piece of it is that what you do is listen for what problems they have, and you tell them how you can solve those problems. And you can do that in the interview, or you can come back and do it later. And it's a very powerful way to find a job. Number 11 and number 12, number 11 being use your career center at your college or university, and number 12, attend career fairs. I used to think that that was just for people who just graduated, and that is not the case. I have had clients find a job by going back to their career center at their college. And I've had lots of clients find jobs by going to career fairs. And there's these public career fairs that are maybe not at a university that you can attend. And because the people are captive and you can start a conversation with them, you can build a deeper relationship and then follow up and then set up a phone call. And I've had lots of people find a job that way. So, you know, sometimes we block utilizing a job search strategy that can be really helpful. Any comments or questions there? Okay. Also, some people don't know on number 13 that professional organizations or trade organizations list jobs on their website. So if you're a member of ATD, which used to be ASTD, the training organization, or you're a member of ISPI, which is another training organization, they list jobs on their websites and also sometimes in their printed newsletters. And so if you're a member of a trade organization, that's great. But even sometimes, if you're not a member, you can look at their job listing. So for example, ATD, you have to be a member to see the jobs listed. But ISPI.org, you do not have to be a member. And so it, you know, doesn't even cost them anything if they're looking for a training position to look for a job on a trade organization's website. And the reason that's important is because sometimes organizations list jobs there that they wouldn't list on Indeed or Monster because it costs them money. So that's a really great way to find a job. Number 14 and 15, consult or do contract work are also great ways to find a position. It builds skill, and oftentimes people work their way into a job by consulting or doing contract work. And I have done this myself, actually. Number 16, working for a temp agency, you know, that works really well for entry level, but it can work for a professional level person as well. And even I've had a CFO go through a temp agency once. And there are temp agencies that are for professionals. They're not just putting in entry-level positions. Account temp is one that I think of for accountings. You know, they'll put CFOs in, they'll put CPAs in, and it's a great way to find a job. And what's great about that is you see if you like the company or not. And so that can be, and also you can meet vendors through that and work for a vendor, not just for the company itself. Another great way, number 17, is to find a job by volunteering. You build your network, especially if you're on a board, and you build skills, which builds your resume, and sometimes you meet a hiring manager. And one thing I like to point out is Habitat for Humanity often has very high-level people volunteering for it. And so, you know, it is a great way to meet professionals that might hire you or introduce you to someone that might hire you.
Hey, the Donna.
Other, yeah.
On that, Barry, on that one, I find it to be a pretty big payoff, but most people never go there because they don't see volunteer equals job. But
yeah.
The networking, the in-person networking, and they get to see your skills.
Yes.
Is I don't know if that's the top, but boy, the people get it. And it's kind of like, I just think it's one of the bigger payoffs and the least, the ones that seem like it would be the least payoff, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And there's absolutely, they get to see your skills. And I've had lots of people get jobs this way. And the other piece is that sometimes if they're unemployed, they get really lonely and they get really inactive.
Yeah.
And I like to say the more you do, the more you do, and the less you do, the less you do. And so if we can get them volunteering right off the bat if they're unemployed, it keeps their confidence up, it keeps them from getting lonely, and it gets them active. So I think that's a really, really important one, Barry, and thanks for your comments. Any other comments or questions? Awesome. Now, number 18, do an internship, has started to get more traction now that we have the movie The Internship out.
With Robert De Niro, I love it.
Yeah. People used to think that doing an internship was just for people out of college. And by the way, that's how I got my first job in the television industry. But it is for adults, and I've had clients who were unemployed who went in and did an internship and got a job. And sometimes we forget that internships can be paid. And I always think people are afraid to work for free, and that goes for volunteering as well. But I think working for free is some of the best ways to find work. So, but yes, adults are doing internships as well, especially if they're switching industries. And that was happening before the movie The Internship, but it helps us now that it's out. That's a great way to find a job. Number 19, take an entry-level position. That is good for people who are re-careering or midlife job changing. Sometimes we have to take a step back, and maybe it's not entry level, but it's not at the top where we were, but it's a way to get in and start working our way up. And sometimes people move really quickly because the company will see the great skills that we have. Number 20 and 21 are my absolute favorites. Yay! The best way to get your dream job is to create it yourself. And this takes gutsy people or people who have a lot of passion, but there's two ways to do it. One is to create your dream job within your own company, and that's going out, looking to see what the company needs, seeing what you want to do, and going and pitching it to the hiring manager. And I have found a job within my own company doing this, and it was my dream job. Number two, number 21 is to pitch a job to a target company. So assess the company, look at what their needs are, look at what your skill set is, create a PowerPoint, make an appointment, and go pitch the job. Make sure you let them know what the return on investment would be. And I've had several clients get a fantastic job by doing this. So definitely we have to do a lot of support on this one to get them to do it, but it works, and they will find their dream job that way. 22, using social media besides LinkedIn, Twitter. They actually tweet openings out there. Recruiters, if you follow recruiters, will tweet job openings, and that's the way to get the fastest jump on it. People use their Facebook networks to find a position. Going back to Twitter, you can tweet that you're looking for a job. And I was quoted in an article about should you tweet your own firing? And in some industries, tweeting that you've been fired, I know of a guy that tweeted that he was fired and he had 57 job offers within 2 weeks. So depends on why you were fired, depends on what the industry is. And then something that people don't think of is doing a mass emailing, where you just email 100 companies that you want to work for, find the hiring manager and email. That's something that we used to do in the old days with paper. We used to send out a paper mailing. But you can do it via email. It's only a 2 in 100 response rate, but if you do enough of it, if you sent 1,000 emails, you'd have, you know, some really good leads. Also, mail your resume. I mean, people don't think of this because we're so email tied, but if somebody received your resume through the mail, that might really make you stand out because nobody does it anymore. So these are some more out of the box kind of methods. Cold call, especially for things that are really in demand, but I think cold calling can work. Trace down the hiring manager and call them and let them know, you know, you're in the market for a job, and can they keep you in mind in case they have an opening?
Or another version might be to network through LinkedIn to find that person, or network through your network.
Right, and if you can get a warm introduction, that's even better.
Better, yeah.
Right, and we'll definitely talk more about that through LinkedIn and when we get into that. But, yeah, warm introduction for a phone call is even better. But if you can't get to that company, you could do a cold call, and it would work. And the people I find that really can do this well, of course, are the salespeople. But I've gotten other people to do it, and it's worked for them, too. Here's way out of the box. People don't think of this, but you can still look at the newspaper want ads. And that may seem like a waste of time because of Indeed.com, but you might see something that you wouldn't have seen. Or you might see that your skills translate into something that you hadn't thought of. So I encourage people to do that method if it appeals to them.
I've seen people use another version of the same thing, which is Craigslist, and some Craigslists are garbage and some are absolutely real.
Yeah, and you know, I've had people get really good jobs through Craigslist. I was kind of not happy, you know, or excited about that one, but people are getting jobs through Craigslist, and it's not just the entry-level positions.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's another version. But a newspaper, you know, a physical, some people are very tactile, and that might work really well for them because they're actually touching and seeing.
And also these days, you can go online, and there are, I can't think of the name of it, but there are, when somebody puts an ad in ABC, San Francisco Chronicle is an example, it goes through a different system, and sometimes it shows up on multiple newspaper feeds, kind of electronically, too.
Ah, okay. That might be a new – you might be getting a prize.
Oh, I'll take one. I can't think of the name of it, but it's kind of the newspaper version of Indeed or something, but it's a different system. I don't remember the name of it.
If you remember it, please send it.
All the research will let you know, yeah.
Okay, that would be awesome. Thanks. And then we also have Create Your Own Website. And especially for a graphic designer or, somebody that has visual work that they can show, and especially if they search engine optimize it for the job title that they want to look for and in the location that they want to look for, you never know if somebody might Google technical engineer with architectural experience, and you might pop up in their search. And especially if you're going to do consulting work, of course, they want to do a website. So that is another way. And so there you go. So you, when you came on this call, how many strategies did you think there were? Anybody think there was as many as 26?
No, not 26.
Did you think 5 or 10?
Yeah.
Well, I think most people fit into one called fear, and they don't do any, you know?
Yes, and that's why we started with the mental game.
Yeah, I can think of maybe one more. I'm not really sure if it's on here or not. It's a version of networking, and that is you get your 30-second me or your 15-second me, and you get it into you really good, and you do it for specifically of telling everybody about you, your friends,
yes,
your colleagues, and then
you're
out and about, you're telling them all the time because they're hooked up with a gazillion people. This is what I'm doing. I get laid off. I'm looking for this. This is why I'm really good. If you know somebody, let me know. Or whatever it is.
And that is number two, work your existing network. So let's go ahead and talk about that one, because we are going into the more detailed information that's here. Anybody else come up with any other ideas for looking for jobs that aren't here? Ariana, do you have anything?
No, nothing in addition. You've covered my 5 to 10, so I'm tapped. I'm tapped
okay.
out.
Okay, Chris, I know you're on mute, but if you have anything.
No, you covered quite an extensive list.
Okay, great. So then I will go into detail on work your network. And by the way, Katie, did you ever join the call? No, I didn't think she was here today. Okay, so work your network. That's what we're talking about. And we'll come back to your marketing collateral, Barry, and we're going to talk about how to create your elevator speech, or some people call it your 60-second speech. And so we do need to support them in creating that. And once they do, then they want to work their network. And we would have them create a people list, which actually I feel is part of their marketing collateral. So this is linked off of marketing collateral. But and I'm going to have Katie talk about the people list, so we'll do that one next time. But you create a people list, and then you categorize them into people that you either want to have lunch, coffee, phone call, email, or send a link request, or any combination. And you also use your elevator pitch everywhere you go. So you know, it's like I tell people, I once got a coaching client at jury duty. It's the same thing with us selling coaching, but, you know, I've definitely gotten lots of coaching gigs and jobs at parties, waiting in the grocery line. So you use that elevator pitch every place you go, and you let people know, you know, I am looking for a job. This is what I'm looking for. Do you know anybody at any companies that you can introduce me to? Do you know of any companies I should be looking at? Do you know of any job leads? So you work your network, and you engage your contacts in the discussion. You know, who do they know at your target company or in your industry? Where do they network? And could you come with them? Can you brainstorm with me on ways to find my job? Can you forward my resume to anyone? Can you, and then you're always, when you're working your network, looking for ways to offer value to them. And then the next piece is also having a contact follow-up process where you're reminding people you're in that job search at least once a month. And you're maybe alternating between an email and a phone call. And then another really important one is to ask for help from mentors or champions within your company, outside your company, and so forth. So we suggest they have a people list that they have in an Excel document or a Word document, and they categorize the people and they track their activity against that list of people to say, you know, this date I contacted them and called, and this date we had lunch, and this day I followed up, and so forth. So that is working your existing network. Any comments or questions on that one? Anybody?
Yeah, I do. And that is just because you work at one time doesn't mean you can't work at more than once. Some people have limited two things. Some people don't remember, and other things, circumstances change. So you talk to them one day, and they haven't talked to them for a month, as an example, or 2 months, depending how long you're looking. You might go back because things change.
Yes. And the more, and marketing wisdom says seven touches sells. And so think of it also as, okay, I talked to them on the phone, that's one touch. I sent an email, that's another touch. I linked to them on LinkedIn, that's another touch. So you're getting top of mind, and you know, maybe they see your status update on LinkedIn, that's another touch. So then you're starting to get in their mind and they'll see opportunities for you. Any other comments or questions? Okay. So that is working your network. And by the way, you know, you're going to bring your clients into this. You're going to go through the whole list. You're going to help them choose some strategies. And by the way, this one example on the right is an example of a client, the strategies they chose. And then this was actually in an Excel spreadsheet. And they tracked when they did what and reported each phone call what they had gotten done, that they, oh, yes, I have expanded my network. I've had these many lunches. I've had this, you know, I've applied to this many things on LinkedIn. I set up this many job alerts and so forth, so that they showed their productivity against all of the different strategies. Let's take a look at number one, work with recruiters and headhunters. So this first section, work with recruiters and headhunters, gives a lot of different articles that helps them. The first one helps them understand the difference between human resources, external recruiters, and hiring managers. So if you're not familiar, I would read that article, and I would suggest you go ahead and read, you know, these articles, but also, you know, suggest that they read it so they really truly understand. We've got five things you should know about recruiters. We've got how to find recruiters in your niche. So that's a great article for them. And I'm going to click over to that one because I wanted to show you that it does have a section here on scan recruiter directories. And it's got a lot of good directories of recruiters, which I didn't even know was out there until a couple of months ago. So if you go to RecruiterLink, say, which is a free directory, you can search in your location and in your industry for recruiters, and you can contact them. And the more relationships with recruiters you have, the more they come to you for jobs. And I have clients that have, you know, good relationships with 10 or 15 recruiters, and they'll be out of work and get work very quickly because of it. So this is a very important thing, not just for their job search now, but for the long term, to build relationships with recruiters.
I got a crazy ass idea.
Okay.
What if you network to recruiters to network to other recruiters, because not every recruiter specializes in the area that you may be looking for.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Definitely want to add, you know, you may be getting more than one prize here.
I'll take as many as you want to give me. I'm usually not this loosening. You look creative early in the morning.
See, I motivated you with a prize.
You,
that worked.
You did. You tantalized the little carrot in front of me, you know?
I like it. I should do this more. Yes, because, you know, national recruiters have different arms within their same organization, and so maybe you know an accounting recruiter, and they know an engineering recruiter.
People know each other in the industry, recruiting industry, you know. Or some people are only deal with certain kind, like a tech recruiter might not deal with accounting or whatever, yeah.
Yes, and as your job changes, you may need a different recruiter. And there's some really great ways to find recruiters on LinkedIn, where what you do is you search your connections for recruiters, and you can see who they're, you know, connected to. And so if you have a friend that's in your industry, you can get connected to their recruiter. So that's another way of searching for recruiters through sort of a backdoor method. We also have an article here on four tips for communicating with recruiters, how to talk to a recruiter, and five things you should never say to a recruiter. So there's some great articles there. And then we do have some resources to find recruiters. I want to look at the national list first, and this is just a list I've been compiling of recruiters. And so as you guys get to know recruiters, or if you know any, send them my way and we'll add them. And then it does have a connection to some of those recruiter lists. And a My Resume Agent lets you submit your resume to recruiters, so it's a submission engine just for recruiters. And then we've got some specialized recruiters here as well. So that gives them some more recruiters to contact. I also have a California recruiters list if you are working with a client in California. And then I was starting to talk about using LinkedIn to find and link to recruiters. Here's an article on how to do that, so you get a little bit more information. And I will physically show you how to do that when we get to the leveraging LinkedIn section. So we have now done number one and number two. Network to find a job is number three. And the difference between one and two and three is two is working your existing network, and three is working networking to find a position. Oops, got a little thing there that needs to go away. Hold on one second. Let's get rid of that. And so we have lists of places to find networking events and professional and trade organization events. So any of these can help them find a position. And if you refer them to this and then they need help, you may have to go in and show them how to use that. I also have some networking organizations in California that I've collected for your California clients. I've got tips for how to effectively network, tailor your elevator speech to the audience. So in other words, if you're going to a quality assurance organization, you want to talk about quality assurance. But if you're going to manufacturing, you may want to talk a little bit about manufacturing. And what I do is I put index cards in my glove box for all the different places I go. And what I do and what I suggest they do is practice the elevator speech in the car before they go in. And that way it's fresh, and I do it aloud because for some reason that gets your mouth working and your brain working. And then when you get in there, you want to share your elevator speech. You want to obtain business cards and hand out business cards. You want to ask people for warm introductions to your target company or industry. This is a thing that always happened to me is, and I don't know if this ever happened to you guys, but you come home from a networking event and you have a huge stack of business cards and you leave them on your desk and they get dusty because you don't know what to do with them. Does anyone ever have that experience? No?
I don't get dusty. You just forget about them.
Okay. You forget about them?
And then you forget why you were there, and then time passes, and the connection to them it kind of disappears. At least that's what I...
And then you throw them away.
Yeah, somebody else had something to say, too.
Yeah, no, I was just agreeing. It's Arianna. I've had that happen, of course. But I have a new app now on my phone that takes a picture of the business card and integrates it into my contacts. And then
nice.
You can add notes.
So, and could you send me the name of that app?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. It's called Card Capture, CC. I'll send it to you.
Okay. Because I have a scanning software where I run the card right through the scanner. But even that doesn't totally solve it because did you take any action with it? And so what I found to do, which really helps, and I always share this with my clients, is I come home with the stack and I have multiple categories to sort them into. So the ones that I want to have lunch with because they're a really hot lead or they're connected or they're the right kind of person, I put in the lunch pile. If I want to have coffee, I put them in the coffee pile. If I want to do a phone call with them, I put them in the phone pile. If I just want to send an email, I do that, and I link to all of them through LinkedIn every time. And by sorting those, it helped me be able to take action. And so then I knew, okay, I have three people I want to have lunch with. Let me set those up. I want to email these 10 people, so I'll do those really quickly. And then link to everybody and put them all into my database. So for me, that helped me overcome the piles of business cards. I hope
Donna, this is Chris.
Yeah.
I found... too, when I'd go to networking functions. I belong to Inforum, a women's organization. And it was very frustrating because as I collected like hundreds of these cards and I bring them home, and I would talk to different people as well to find out everyone was a coach.
Oh.
Yeah, and it was like, well, and everybody was interested in telling me about what they did, which was coaching.
Okay, and that's a common thing, and one thing we need to, and it's actually on B here, down here it says select the groups that you network at. So you want to network at places that have members who are in your profession, and that's a good place to network. But you also want to network at places where it's not with people in your field. So go to a manufacturing organization, go to a logistics organization, go to an accounting organization. And what you'll find is there might be one coach there, but there's not going to be a lot of coaches there. So that's the other thing that we need to do is help them select the right place to go. And what I always did was drive-bys. I call them drive-bys. What I do is I go to one meeting of an organization, and then I assess whether I want to go back or not. And sometimes you just want to go once. And sometimes you just want to go once to a lot of different places, and you get a lot of connections that way, and you've gotten kind of the good connections, and you don't really need to go back. But we want them to select a variety of places to go. So, you know, it could be related to their profession. It could be related to a field or an industry that might hire them, or really targeted to people who might want to hire them. And so that should...
I'm sorry. This is Chris again. That brings up another idea, and that is if you belong to various organizations, and like myself with Inforum, and I stopped going to the networking event because it was, again, all coaches. However, when I go to some of the workshops that were being presented, then there was a multitude of different kinds of people there.
Yes, yes. So maybe so what you need to do is always to be efficient in networking is assess what events work for you. And,
yes.
You know, and also look at the topic. Does the topic look like it's something that would attract the kind of person that you need to network with? So that's another good tip. And I actually did the reverse with Pyra, where I stopped going to the meetings where they had a presentation, but I would go to the evening networking events because I'd meet more people. So it's assessing and playing with it and trying different things and you know, making sure that you're utilizing your time to its very best. Any more comments or?
Yeah, I got a comment. I'm just trying to see if I can put it into a small piece. There's a concept, weak ties and strong ties. Weak ties are the people you don't know or don't know well. Strong ties are the guy that will open their Rolodex. What happens is human nature, we tend to go to our strong ties. Nothing wrong with this. But if you always go to the same strong ties, you don't need make no more weak ties in order to make strong ties. So that's why you got to go to new places that you've never been in, sometimes that uncomfortable place, in order to expand the network, because you never knew who's going to be there, which is just another way of saying go to more different places.
Yes. Go where you're uncomfortable.
And
by the way, I find that the extroverts want to do this and the introverts want to look at the job search websites, and I always try to get them to do the reverse also, so that they're casting a wider net. And so that's part of our job, too, is to watch for, you know. So the first question I ask is, what are you doing to find a job? Okay, you're doing this. That's great. Keep doing this. But now let's expand you into some other places that may be uncomfortable, but maybe just the place for you to find the position you're looking for. Great comments, you guys. Anything else?
Yeah, I have to say that I'm not looking for the job, and I'm tired. I'm overwhelmed by the amount of information. So I can imagine that the person that's looking for the job, who is just maybe feeling what I'm feeling times 10. So I just want to acknowledge, boy, is there a lot going on for these guys, you know?
Yes, and it's our job to put them through this piece by piece, right? You're not going to do all of this in one session. You're gonna maybe have them look at the whole job search strategy list, and you're going to show them a couple, and then the next time you're going to show a couple more, and so
right.
forth. And so, yes, they get overwhelmed, and we need to guide them through, and that's what makes us different than, you know, a place that's an outplacement firm, is they just give them this and they don't help them. So we've got to help them, and we've got to use this as a starting point for discussion and tips and giving them support and everything. But, yeah, it's a lot. So
I just want to drill down to that for about 30 seconds, because I have a friend that got laid off from HP, and that's exactly what he had. He goes, oh, this is great stuff, and there was just, here it is. And the guy went in circles, didn't know where to go. Yeah. I did some coaching with him. And I think it's the application of it that's more important than the data of it, data alone.
Right.
So I think that's a valuable selling point or reminder to the clients or to the people about the application of it. That's where that's the stickiness of it. That was really good, Donna.
And that's why job search coaching isn't just for a month, right? It needs to be through the whole time. They need support. They need mental support, and they need, I'm still not finding a job. Okay, well, let's expand you into this strategy too. Okay, how do I do it? You know, and we're coaching them how to do it and supporting them in their resistance to doing it. And so it's a long process. And I always remind them, these are skills that you're going to take with you for the rest of your life. This is going to happen to you again, so it's worth putting the energy into it. And some of these you're going to use while you're employed just to see what else is out there. And they have access to these resources going forward. As long as I maintain the website, if they've been at one of our clients, they have access to this. So, it's helpful to them in the long term, not just the short term. So I want to call your attention to the fact that there are a lot of articles here on networking, and so we want them to read some of these. And then Katie suggested this book, The 20-Minute Networking Meeting, so we definitely want to suggest that. I have some tips about, you want to station yourself at the front of the entry at the beginning and at the end of the meeting. You know, there's all kinds of tips on ways to make sure that you make it as efficient as possible. We also want to encourage them to go to professional organizations, not just networking events. And there's some tips like introduce yourself to the chair or the person who's organizing it and get them to introduce you to people. Look for connectors. And connectors are people who like to connect people. And they are great people to network with because they'll, we've always all met those people who you're talking to and they'll say, oh, I know a person that does that. Oh, I know a person that does that. Let me introduce you. You know, those are fantastic people to have on your side when you're in a job search. Also, here's one that might sometimes be overlooked in networking, and that's going to trade shows and conventions. And I've had a lot of people get jobs by doing this. They just walk around the trade show, meet everyone that looks of interest at companies that look of interest. And what's great is there'll be moments when these people aren't busy and you can have a full conversation with them.
Totally. And there's another thing I think, depends what kind of processor people are, how they do things. But when you're at a trade show, you get an ambiance of the company, the product, the people in a nanosecond. Where if you just send a resume or a phone call, sometimes you don't get that. So there is that kind of different way of connecting. I love that one. It does take time and energy,
And it costs money. Unless you volunteer to help at the trade show. So that is a way it's a fantastic way to find a job, and I've had a lot of people utilize it. And I always remind them, make sure you send a link request to everyone you meet and create a follow-up process for those that are really good connections. So, and then they're expanding their LinkedIn network, which will make them found more often, because the more people you're linked to, the more often you're found on LinkedIn. So that is network to find a job. Let me see if we can get a little bit more of the next one in here. Don't know if we can get it all in, but job search websites. So there is a list here of job search websites, very important. If you click on it here, you do want to take them into this list while you're on a call with them. And my first recommendation is to get on Indeed.com because it is not just a job search website. It is an aggregator. And what I mean by that is it pulls jobs from multiple job search websites. And if you click here, it actually takes you to a list of all the websites that Indeed.com aggregates so they can see which job search websites they don't need to go to. But I always make sure they know that it aggregates Monster and Career Builder so they don't need to be looking on.
What
Monster.
Did you click on to find the aggregate?
Okay. So
get here. How'd you get
right
there?
Right here.
Oh, I see it.
Then,
okay, yeah.
And then job search websites aggregated by Indeed. And I made it a, because
I
didn't link out to all of those. So Indeed.com, Simply Hired, Glassdoor. Idealist is for nonprofit, so that's a really important one for people who are either open to or are looking for nonprofit jobs. Then LinkedIn has its own jobs tab that we want them to be utilizing. If they're looking for an internship, internships.com is a really good one. If they're looking for a government or open to government, you've got usajobs.gov, the Wall Street Journal. There's some other general ones, and Craigslist is here. I didn't put it as one of my top ones, but it is on the list. You have to sift through a lot. Even eBay has a job search classifieds, and there's Flipdub, Jobbings, a bunch of different ones there. There are executive job search websites like ExecuNet and NetShare.
Well, I actually want to say a little mini strategy on those is that I've seen work is some of those you pay a certain amount of money to get on some of those, but I've also seen where they'll post stuff or you can get stuff even if you're not belong to it, and they go, here's one, and then sometimes if you take that information out of there and go put it in Indeed or a different place, you'll actually find it.
Yes. Yeah, so if you see a company or you see something that looks like a company you think you might have, or if you take the job title over and search it on Indeed, sometimes you can find the job that they're listing there. Absolutely great tip. There's also some paid job search websites like The Ladders and Blue Steps. A lot of people like The Ladders. People ask, should I do it? And I say, well, if you're not finding the job you want on Indeed, then maybe you should. There's also some new types of job search websites where it's very two-sided, where if it's an engineer or a data scientist or something like that, they're looking at the companies as much as the companies are looking at them and they're posting. And I'm not totally familiar with that process, but there's a lot there. We also have a lot of government job search websites listed here, and there's also city and county job search websites, so that's another thing to encourage them to look at. If they're looking for a flex job where it's a shared job or a job that they can do from home, there's flexjobs.com. We have some internships and college grad websites and even some teen job search websites. And then this is really important. You really, really should take them over to this. It's industry-specific job search websites. And these job search websites are by either the type of job or the industry. And I have them go through, look through the whole list, and put all of those on their rotation as well. And I think it's really important to tell them that they need to create a job search website list so that they make sure they're looking through all of those websites regularly, I would say at least once a week. But if you take them through, sometimes, like, for example, there's down here there's food, and so they definitely want to look at the foods websites, but they may also want to look at the hospitality websites. So it is really important for them to look all the way through these. And the reason they want to look at job search websites by industry is because some jobs may not be listed on Indeed because it's expensive. And so the company will list it on a specific job search website because it costs less and because it's targeted to exactly who they want to find.
Donna, so, I have to drop.
Okay, thanks. So that gives you the industry-specific job search websites.
You go away, yeah, I just want to say that thing I was mentioning earlier, you go on a one and go to another. Sometimes if you start researching one thing onto different sites, you know, maybe the local newspaper, the local Craigslist, or the company, you can find the same job listed multiple times, and on occasion, you'll get different information about the job or the company or whatever. It depends how deep they want to go, but it's a very interesting little exercise if they find something they really like.
Yes, and they may they just may see something different on these websites that they don't see on Indeed.com. So I want to do one other quick thing before I'm going to take us over just by a minute or so. I want to show you that Leverage LinkedIn is the next place we're going. And what I wanted to let you know is there's a ton of resources here, but I wanted you to know that there are two podcasts that are about how to use LinkedIn for a job search. So there's one link right here under Leveraging LinkedIn for your job search. It says podcast interview. And then this other one that I was able to actually post on the website, which you can download or you can listen to on your computer. And I would like to highly suggest that all of you listen to those two podcasts to get, or at least one of them, to get a feel for how to use LinkedIn for your job search before we start talking about it, because it gives a lot of good tips and it'll give you some perspective because there's a lot to know about using LinkedIn for your job search. So, Barry, did you have something to add before I...
Yeah, but it's fine. It kind of passed my brain, so...
Okay, sorry about that.
Oh, no worries. It was a fleeting thought, and it will come back later if it's important.
Okay, and you can email it to me, and I can cover it in a future session, too. So we have gotten through four of the job search strategies. I think it's going to take us a while. We probably need a whole other session for the rest of the strategies, and then I know we need another session on leveraging LinkedIn. So, you know, we'll be going forward through the job search strategy. I hope this is helpful for you. And I'd like to just have, I know I just have two of you now, I'd like you both to share what's the most important thing you're taking away from today. And if it's okay, I'm going to start with Ariana.
Hi, yeah. You know, for me, I think these are, you know, the information that you've got here is just so wonderful. And it I think helps the, we were talking about overwhelm earlier, but I think if you carefully go through it with your client, you know, piece by piece, it's a great way to organize all the resources. And I really like the idea of creating the job site list that you regularly go through. So that in conjunction with your people list and your company list, I think there's a process that you can help your client create that's going to work for them to...
We lost her.
Faith, we lost her, so I'll pick up.
Yeah.
She last left off, which is not exactly, but similar. And maybe she'll be back. I mean, what I take out of today for the people doing this is there is not one way or one you know, prescribed way. There's many, and you got to do more than one, and you got to find the one that works for you. That's the thing that I get, because there's tons of great resources.
Love it, yeah, and it's what will fit with something that you will repeatedly do.
Yeah, that's good. That's good, because one time is not the same as consistent.
Right. So what will you consistently do? What do you, I mean, we need to push you out of your comfort zone a little bit, but also find things that you will consistently do. So
I think another version of that is to revisit this on a semi-regular basis to see, you know, how's it working, take a little inventory and maybe say, okay, which one is working great? Which one do you want to work on that you haven't tried? Try something different. You know, I mean, there's so many.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, and if you're stuck and you're not finding that job, maybe utilizing a new one that you hadn't thought of. So sometimes it's just a good place to revisit from time to time to get them refreshed. And they think, oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, I do want to do that. So
I can also see your background and your exuberance around this, you know, how it shows up.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. And definitely, you know, I loved what Ariana said about creating a process because they have to create their own repeatable process and do it and find what works for them. So thanks so much for being on the call, Barry, and everybody that's going to listen afterwards. And let me give the closing call number. It's 777, and the ending code is 777. And we will reconvene, and I will be sending the email to tell you when we're starting again in about 3 weeks. So thanks a bunch. Thanks, Barry.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.